I turn that on this time. If you would, turn with me this morning to 2 Timothy. Takes me a minute here to get my brain working. You know, this morning we started out, I was with the kids, I was talking about James. That James passage says we don't need to be merely listen to the word, but we need to be doers of the word when we look into a mirror. It's kind of like looking into the word of God. You look in the mirror and you see the person you are. And you see things that need to be done. You see action that needs to be taken. And then spiritually, when we look into the Word of God, it's like that. God shows us things that need to change in our lives, reminds us things, He encourages us. We need to be a doer of the Word. When we hear God's Word, we need to act upon it the way God is directing us out of His Word. In Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy, who is a young pastor, and he's instructing him. And you probably think, well, Brother David, why would you read something this morning that's supposed to be read to the pastor? Brother Bill's not here. Well, you'll notice it's in our Bible, and it's there for everybody to read, okay? It still speaks to us, because what it says to a pastor is something that we also should respond to. Because the Bible teaches us the importance of God's Word. And Paul was just reminding Timothy, hey, there's some things you need to do with God's Word. Well, these things, same things we need to do with God's Word. We need to realize that God's the reason there. You know, when I talk about the passage out of James, and I talk about being a hearer of the Word and a doer only, and not only... a hearer, but be a doer also. It brings me back to something that happened years ago when I was pastor, and I just preached through 1 John. You know, 1 John's that book that talks about the love of God, and talks about us loving our brothers. And as a matter of fact, it says some interesting things. And hang with me here, by the way. I'll get to our text, but I wanted to see if I can get over there right quick in 1 John and read a couple of these. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whosoever says, I know Him, but doeth not do what He has commanded, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if any man obeys the word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know that we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. And then in the second chapter, also 9th verse, it says, anyone who claims to be in the light and hates his brother or sister is still in darkness. Anyone who loves their brother or sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them that makes them stumble. But anyone who hates their brother or sister is in darkness, walks around in darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. I had preached, as I said, all the way through 1 John. And John is loaded through passages like this and talking about loving one another. I'd preach through them out of Ephesians where it says, endeavor, keep the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace. But yet, hearing the word, they did not do it because... After preaching that, I had a conflict that stirred up in the church among a deacon, his wife, and a staff member But I kept trying to get resolved for 15 months. And finally, it ended up with both of them leaving with members in the church because they began to try to draw people apart, to take sides. And you know, when people do that, they are wanting to wage war. They're not wanting to reconcile. After I'd preached that, you know what we had? We had those that were hearers of the word and not doers of the word. And I thought that was strange. And I was talking to a friend of mine, a pastor that pastored in Oklahoma out in Claremore, and that I'd known while we was passing over there. And he says, you know what? I just got through preaching with 1 John and the same thing happened. And I say this as just a reminder. Are you a doer of the word or just a hearer of the word? As we look at this text, you may think, well, Brother David, I know we're supposed to do all this thing. We're supposed to study God's word. We're supposed to, yes, you know it. Now, are you a doer? Isn't that a good question to ask? Well, the Lord told Timothy in the 2nd chapter, 15th verse, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who doeth not, who does not need to be shamed, but who correctly handles the word of truth. Folks, you need to be a study of the word, just like a pastor is a study of the word, a studier of the word, one that meditates on the word, prays as he's studying the word, who memorizes the word, okay, reads the word, hears the word, does the word. He reminds us here in the third chapter, he says this to Timothy now. And this is our text for today, the main one. All scripture is God-breathed, is useful to teaching. First of all, let me just say, what does it mean that is God-breathed? Well, some translations may say it's God-inspired. 2 Peter says this. In 2 Peter, let's see, I said 2 Peter. Yeah, 2 Peter. We're looking in chapter 1 and verse 20. Or 21, for prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit inspired them, carried them along, showed them basically what to say. Now, there is some that have the argument, well, he inspired the thought and they wrote the thought, because they look at the scripture and they say, well, you know, there's different kinds of speech. Listen, God's all knowing. He knows what one person, the abilities of each one of us. He can use, that is not an issue. But I wanted to read to you out of Samuel, 2 Samuel, I thought this one was, this is a 23rd chapter, and just talking about inspiration. And hear what he says. This is what 2 Samuel. Samuel's speaking. Here's what he says. Or really David's speaking this. He says, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. So what is Paul telling Timothy? All scripture is God-breathed. It is useful to teach. That is, God gave it, inspired it. It is like a love letter to you and I. It's what God wants to say to you, and he wants you to hear it. And he tells you it is useful for certain things. It's useful for teaching in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped. It means they have everything you need for every good work. Because God wants us to perform every good work. By the way, if you're spending time in God's Word, you're going to find that every good work is born out of faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Every good work is motivated out of love. Without love, well, 1 Corinthians 13 chapters tells us that you're just a sounding gong. You're just, you know, you're nothing. Your acts are nothing, no matter how great they are. You can give your body to be burned, supposedly for Christ, but if it's not motivated out of a love for God, it's nothing. So it tells us and shows us how the equips us for every good work and how to carry those off with the right attitude and the right motive, out of what kind of motive, and in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, who will judge the living and the dead in the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. He says, preach the word. Now, in our culture today, we kind of got to this place where a lot of people don't want to hear the preaching, but they like the singing. Matter of fact, a lot of times they like to really just sit and be entertained even when they come to church. Just have somebody sing. I noticed, you can see it in the culture today. A lot of times in our culture you will find that when I first started in the ministry, you used to hear a lot of radio preachers. You used to hear a lot of them. You could find one easy on the dial. Now, it's Christian music. I wonder about that. The Lord is instructing Timothy, and he says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. I mean, all time. Be ready to give an answer for your faith. Be ready to proclaim the truth. Now listen to the things that come from the word. First of all, correct. To correct what? Correct wrong doctrine, wrong behavior, rebuke, chasten, or reprove. When somebody's doing wrong, sometimes that can come from the pulpit. You know, when you rebuke a particular action or activity that is wrong. Matter of fact, Philippians was written for that reason. Part of that, you read Philippians, you know, Philippians, that passage where it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And he said, let this mind, you're supposed to think like Jesus, okay? When you get to the last part of the book, you see what he was dealing with. There was two ladies in the church that were in conflict. Obviously, they were ladies that had influence in the church. But they were feuding and not getting along. They were living for themselves. And they were bringing division to the church. So it has a place of correction. Can reproof. It said it's a sound doctrine. Once it says, he goes on. For the time, and encourage, okay, it encourage us to do that which is right. With great patience and careful instruction, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Whoa! You know, a lot of times in the church, people don't want to hear God's word. And they just kind of turn off, or maybe they get kind of turned off. They don't like a particular subject because it doesn't agree with their life. Instead of accepting what the word is saying to them and make the correction in their life, they reject the word of God and they start looking for somebody who will tell them what they want to hear. And I want you to know, when you do that, you will find somebody that you will want to hear. They won't really tell you the truth. How come it is that we have churches today that are basically condoning homosexuality. How is that? How is it today we have men that want to marry other men and women that want to marry other women and are trying to say in the church that's God's plan? I hear some of them say, well, he didn't say nothing about homosexuality. No, he didn't. The word doesn't appear in most of our Bibles. But I tell you, in Genesis, he tells you exactly how it's supposed to work, okay? There's a man and a woman. And that was part of the plan, and that was part of the plan to populate this world. Okay? That's God's plan. People's always trying to mess with God's plan. They're trying to tell you that, you know, they wanted China just to have one child per family. And matter of fact, the Communist Party, that was, you know, their deal. Like, nobody had any more than one. And the culture was they favored men. And so you might find an abandoned baby girl someplace. And then, right now, they're having a problem with population shortage and shortcoming. You know, God's got a plan. Quit messing with it. God is the giver of life. Let Him plan your family. I get tired of this family planning stuff. God is supposed to be God, not you. Let Him be the planner. I wonder what it had been like. Now just picture this with me just for a minute, and we get back to this. Picture this with me just a minute. If our nation and the Christians in our nation had had all the children God wanted them to have rather than just the children they wanted them to have, and they had raised their children up to be godly children, I wonder where our nation would be now. Just picture that in your brain a little bit. We need to quit trying to be the gods of our life. And let us be like Christ. Let us have the mind of Christ, as Paul said in Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. He became obedient to the Lord, finding himself as in the form of a man. He gave us the perfect example. All right. Paul is here, writing to Timothy, this young pastor, and he's encouraging him. He reminds him, he says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Now you need to be careful when you begin to start arguing with God's word. And you need to be careful when you begin to hear things that's not consistent with God's word. And every parent needs to instruct their kids that when they hear something at school and it's inconsistent with the word of God, they ought to know that it's wrong and it's a lie. Our young people go off to school because they're not grounded in the Word. They go off to college and universities, and they come back pagans. Because first of all, they have not been grounded in the Word before they left home, and when they get there, there are those who are intent of undermining what faith they have. And young person, you need to take responsibility for your spiritual walk and get into the Word. You need to believe what God has said. You know, one of the things is we It's been the thing of evolution. By the way, they put that in the school. They got real enthusiastic about that into the school and into science when I was a kid. They came out with some books. I think they were called like K and L M books, was kind of the line of books. And they, Russia had sent their Sputnik up, you know, up in the space, and they thought we were getting behind, and they just, our kids needed to be taught evolution. You know, that the world just kind of something, universe exploded, and then all this stuff happened, and, you know, they have all kinds of theories, okay? And I'm not going to get into the theory. I just want to explain to you how the Word of God is to be understood. I think God meant for it to be pretty simple. So those that weren't real educated could still understand. That's pretty simple. God's word is always right, and man's always wrong. And man's trying to figure out how God did it. Okay. But if it does not jive with the word of God, if it does not match up with the word of God, they got it wrong, they need to study it a little more. Okay. It's not God's word is wrong. God's word is always right. Man is wrong when he's wrong. When it doesn't match up with God's word, it's wrong. And they don't have all the information they need to make the right decision. And if we don't teach our kids his truth, and we don't practice it and put it into, you know, practice it as we talk with it, as we speak, then we undermine them. Anyway, if we read the scripture, instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather to themselves a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. You're a Sunday school teacher, teach the word, be emphatic about it. I mean, it's the absolute truth. You don't need to be apologetic about the word. When the Bible says the Word of God, and it does, by the way, the Word, not just the Word of God, that God is the only way to heaven. That's not popular in our culture, but the Scripture says, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the light, no one comes to the Father but by me. Paul said there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. There's only one way to heaven. There's not a multiple ways of heaven. Some, many religions believe that if they are just good enough, if you're a good person, you're going to go to heaven. Okay? That's not what the Bible teaches. But really the Bible teaches you're not good enough to go to heaven. Okay? And you ought to know that. You're fooling yourself if you believe that somehow you're going to get to heaven because you're, you know what you're doing, you measure, most people measure themselves up to somebody, against somebody else. All of us can measure ourselves up against Hitler, and we know that he's a pretty bad guy in history, and we can say, well, we're surely better than his, Hitler. Yeah? Yeah. But how many of you have ever told a lie? Oh, come on. Come on. Don't tell me you're perfect. Don't sit there and try to tell me you told a lie, hadn't you? And some of you, have you ever had a thought you shouldn't have? You knew you shouldn't have had that thought. You had that thought, huh? Yeah. How many of you ever disobeyed a parent? Those are sins, you know. And if you were going to heaven in God's eye and be perfect, you wouldn't ever raise your hand. You wouldn't be able to raise your hand because you had done absolutely right always. See, God tells you the truth. And the truth here would be found in the third chapter of Romans. And he says, "There, as it is written, there is no one righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks after God." You say, "Well, yeah, but I got saved." Listen, you wouldn't have sought after God if God hadn't reached out there to you. I remember this picture on the Sistine Chapel, Michelangelo, he's got God reaching out and man reaching to him like this. And that's really not the way it should have been painted. It should have been painted with God reaching over there and slapping the back of man's head to get his attention. Because that's really what happened. That part where man's reaching to God didn't happen until God reached over and slaps the back of your head. Get your attention. "There's none that seeketh after God. No, not one. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who doeth good. Not even one." That is, means their life is perfect. They always do what is right. And by the way, when a man's not living for God, everything he's doing, then he's doing it for himself. "Their throats as open sepulchres, their tongues are practicing deceit. The poison of asp is a viper, means snake, is on their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." Have you ever said an ugly thing to somebody? Have you ever said an ugly thing to somebody? I mean, you're mad, you're angry. Have you ever said anything ugly to your kids? Have you ever said anything ugly to your husband or your wife or to a brother or a sister? And those are your close people to you. How about neighbors, friends, acquaintances, people you do business with? Have you ever uttered a word that you shouldn't have? Have you ever used a hand signal in place of a word? Still the same, you know. "Cursing and bitterness comes from their mouths. Their feet are swift to shed blood." You say, "Well, I've never murdered anybody." I'll tell you what the Lord said. He said, if you hate someone, you've as well as committed murder in your own heart. If you lusted after someone, you've as well as committed adultery in your own heart. Man, you start thinking like he's thinking. You realize we're really in trouble. And that's what he's trying to say here. Our feet are swift to shed blood. You know how they're swift? Hey, the first thing we want to kill babies. Our culture wants to kill babies. Then we want to encourage people to get suicide. That's our answer for problems. I mean, that's just... Our swift. The shed blood, run and misery marks their way. Oh, is there peace in the world? No. The way of peace they do not know. The fear of God. There is no fear of God before their eyes. If there was, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. God's not lied. But what he has said, he says, the wages of sin is death. He's talking about spiritual death. Men, the wages of sin brings death, spiritual death. Men die and go into eternity without God. He's talking about hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way to have eternal life and to go into his presence is through Jesus. And you can't do it by works. See, the wages of sin, that's what you've earned, deserves death. And a gift is not something you earn, but is given to you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of life, eternal life, is what he's giving you. Ephesians says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift to God and not of works, lest any man should boast." And yet God says in his word, he says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," in Romans the 10th chapter. Now, See, a lot of people, it's still back to works. They're still struggling with that thing. But I'll just, here's what it takes. And I'm going to lay it out really simple. How a man comes to the Lord, because he's laid it out simple here. If you desire with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God, declare with your mouth the Lord Jesus. That is, you declare him with your mouth. You make known, you claim him as Lord. Not that he is Lord, but he is your Lord. James says, thou believest there is a God, thou doest well. The devil believes, fear, and tremble. No, the devil knows he is Lord. What Romans is wanting to say, or Paul's wanting to say, he's wanting you to claim him as your Lord. You've turned your life over him. And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's God's plan. Like I said, you have to teach sound doctrine. And if people don't want to hear sound doctrine, they're going to turn. They have an itching ear. And Paul is warning Timothy, get out there and preach the word. Teach the word. Use it. It's great. It's Old Testament, New Testament. I've heard some folks say, well, we just as Christians need the New Testament. That's not what Paul said to Timothy. He said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's all profitable to you and to I. You get out there, you preach the word, proclaim it, and realize it won't be long till there'll be people pulling away to believe a lie. So you got to affirm the truth. And the tell the truth is, when somebody pulls away and believes a lie, they try to draw other people with them. So you need to be in the Word yourself. Your pastor and our teachers need to proclaim the Word. And my friends, you better be a hearer, but also a doer. Lest you be deceived and drawn away. And our Lord's coming again. Let's all stand. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and would like to talk to me about that, I'd be free. Just come up to you and say, I'd like to talk with your pastor, and I'm open, okay? And we'll talk about it. And the Bible said in that verse, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you get that place, you're ready and you want to, today you could be saved. You could turn your life over to him. You could let him be the Lord of your life. You could receive his forgiveness for your sins, his payment on the cross for your sins. You could do that today. We're going to dismiss with a word of prayer. Father, you are worthy of all praise and honor and glory. We praise your holy name. From the very time of creation, you were in charge. You're going to work your plan, and you're going to bring it to an end. Lord, we bow our lives before you. What a mighty God you are. Lord, we pray for those who may not know you this morning that are here. They would hear your word and believe and act upon your word, turning their lives over to you, seeking your forgiveness through Jesus Christ, seeking your righteousness.